Wanted to make sure.
Oh, filet mignon? Oh, damn. Boiled. Okay, okay.
Son of a bitch.
It looks like wax.
Is
that?
It looks really weird.
Does it scrape off?
There's nothing.
Is that from the glow-in-the-dark algae?
No way. That would be funny. Does it glow?
It comes off with my finger now. It just feels weird.
Wax or something. That's what it looks
weird.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 49 of Breaking In. We are doing a very special episode, there's going to be a little bit of chatting about writing, but it's kind of a fuck off episode. We are sitting here, we have special guests, my roommates, Colin and Beth Turner, and of course Cheryl's here.
Hi!
I'm your roommate.
Gallery,
right there.
Colin is going to get his own Breaking In story, but we decided we weren't going to do it today just because of the weekend we experienced. Cheryl came up to Hollywood and we forced on them watching Olympus Has Fallen. And then we took them to the movies today to see White House Down in order to compare the two.
They really wanted us to watch experiment. The same movie twice this
weekend. Exactly. That's the only fair way to make a comparison.
Now, throughout this discussion, I've read both of the original scripts, and so throughout this discussion, just so there is a learning experience, we will discuss writing.
Cheating and writing. There's like major ass cheating in this writing of everything.
But let's just dive in. So what'd you guys think?
Well, before we even like bridge that, what makes you want to read White House Down?
It's sold for $3.5 million.
Okay, okay. That makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah, I get it now.
It's like picking up a book. And if you have to, after 15 pages, you get a little tired and you put it down, or you sit up till 3 in the morning going,
gotcha.
Reading the rest of the
mm-hmm.
book.
Yeah.
That is the difference. That's a good script to a bad script.
For Did you sure. read either of those movies like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
White House Down
is a very well-written script.
Okay.
I mean, you know, look, as much of a, you know, cheesy action tentpole movie, it was still a fun ride.
And improbable.
Yeah, for sure.
Literally, both of these movies, you go in going, that doesn't happen. You're so silly. So once you get past that part and you let the action go, you're like, okay, fine, I'll accept it.
For entertainment purposes.
Yeah. Yes,
sure.
Exactly.
Sure. I mean, I can guarantee you that I've sat down and read scripts for like Academy Award winning movies, and those are the drama fueled. They're not fun to read. It's very hard to get through those.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's just like, you know, reading an action script for a tentpole movie, it's kind of like reading a comic book. It's just like, yay, pictures in my mind of shit blowing up.
Yeah, that makes sense, because you also don't have like the burden of someone else's visualization. You know what I
exactly.
mean?
Exactly.
It's not
how they decide to CGI
else.
It.
It's like your best possibilities.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which you know, going back to some of the action sequences of both movies, you're right. It was way better in my head than it was.
What they could make it
like
happen.
Oh, spend a dollar on the CG people.
They get a spoiler alert at the beginning of this, right? Are we cool to reveal?
No, yes. Everybody knows spoiler alerts. We are going to talk about
full out. Who cares?
Okay, so we can say anything.
You can say whatever you want.
We actually watch movies before they come out and say spoiler alert. You're not going to see it for 2 weeks, but we just saw it. And
well, Olympus Has Fallen is not out to the mainstream, so
right.
So either you saw it 3 or 4 months ago, or you saw White House Down this weekend, which based on the box office numbers, you didn't. But either way, whatever. Just
not enough women going to the movies. Apparently,
here's the ultimate spoiler alert: the good guys win. There's no twist. There's no
children involved.
John McClane retakes Nakatomi and kills Hans Gruber.
Yeah.
Both of these movies are Die Hard in the White House, and if you haven't seen Die Hard, then come on.
Yeah, you're automatically.
Then you're not
going to
see this movie.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I like I said, they did a lot of writer cheats. for today's movie.
White House Down.
It'll
be my job to goalie which one we're talking about.
Okay. Deal. Because, you know, I won't say
you
it.
You won't remember.
I won't.
And they are so similar.
They are.
Yeah, I was going to say, just to be clear, they are pretty much the exact same.
But, you know? White House
Change
Down.
The ethnicity of the bad guys.
That's it.
Right? True.
And then
and the president. Yes. And the president.
And then roll back.
Change bad guy and president ethnicity.
That's funny.
The same movie.
That's funny.
So in White House Down,
first sheet, literally within 3 minutes of the movie, is a person supposedly on a tour or whatever. I don't know how he gets in, but he opens the door of the custodian. Which, by the way, there's ammonia and things that people of the public shouldn't have access to. Why is there a door right by the front door that's not locked? I don't understand. I'm confused already. It's 3 minutes in. Okay, implausible. So we're going crazy here. We're going to go cray-cray and say, I don't know, people just walk in the front door with guns. Okay, let's do this.
The White House don't get keys.
This is the one day in the White House where everybody dropped the ball.
Everybody.
Frank was supposed to lock that closet.
The custodians, the Secret Service, everybody. I mean, literally everybody.
Well, let's talk. Okay, so in the car ride driving home, your big thing was that, like, the Secret Service was like super pussies.
Like, seriously, I mean,
in both movies.
Embarrassing.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen, like,
they've
got to
be chomping
in, like,
at the bit.
1990s movies who put up a better fight against neighborhood bullies than the CIA and the Secret Service did.
Macaulay Culkin took on a bad guy. With ropes, a pink can, and an old movie.
Way more badass.
I'd argue that Macaulay was way more tactical and badass and, like, thorough thinking
than the people
charged
with trusting our government in.
Exactly.
What?
That is recording, right?
It's recording. I'm watching it.
Oh, he has done that before. Trust me.
We're rolling.
Yeah.
We're rolling.
Okay, we can add that. Mark the time.
I'm not going to mark the time.
Whatever.
Nerdist lets it go. We'll let it
go. Ooh, playing with the big boys.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, yeah, I guess I just have a problem with thinking, like, the most battle-hardened.
And that was, what, 15 minutes in?
Yeah.
So, next writer, she is literally the Secret Service forgot how to defend itself, apparently, during this time of peace.
Yeah, maybe? The only way I can, like, justify it is that all the Secret Service that day, like, smoked their first joint.
Ever.
And they're ever. Like, their first time ever getting high, and they
I'm
spent
baked,
the whole
man.
Day bugging out, like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And then the next thing they know, they were shot in the back.
Yeah, that was pretty horrible. And they literally took the White House over in 20 minutes?
Both movies did. Yeah, but okay, but that's the inciting incident to get the story moving forward. Both movies had that.
Okay.
That 15-minute long sequence.
I gotcha.
Of the
I gotcha.
Assault
Did
on the White House.
Did you see me doing this in the movie?
Yes,
by the way, I'm doing my wrap it the fuck up. Those fights with him were like.
Right, but you didn't do it until then.
Huh?
You didn't do it until the end when Channing Tatum was fighting people.
No, I did it every time Channing Tatum had a fight.
But you didn't
do it
during the assault. You didn't do it during the assault. You didn't do it. I didn't say it.
It
doesn't matter. You didn't do it last night.
The fight scenes were too long. The fight scenes with Channing Tatum with his shirt off.
Yeah.
Were too long. They were.
That
I was like,
movies.
Punch, 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 punch. Okay, come on.
No. That is a vague response. Let me refine it. Let me refine it. The fight scenes were not long in White House Down. They were uninteresting. The fight scenes in Olympus were literally like, I mean, it was
some
Jackie Chan shit.
They also shot them completely different in Olympus Has Fallen.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost,
it was a Bourne Identity kind of.
A little darker.
Yeah. For sure.
Well, yeah, and that's actually a really good point. Like, in Olympus, Gerard Butler was a lot more violent. I mean, it was knives and skulls.
Just
and
everything.
Yeah.
Cinematography was darker.
And you know, stab, and torture. And,
yeah.
Yeah,
it was
darker.
And the assault in Olympus takes place overnight. You Have Until Dawn, which we'll talk about that because you love that. And then... and then this one was all during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
And they had 2 hours.
Yes, they had two hours. Which, by the way, if we were keeping track of time, the time was all over the place.
Oh,
because they only had 2 hours, but that
and
was like in the
helicopters
morning.
Helicopters were coming, and then other helicopters were coming, and then all of a sudden it was dusk. Pilots, and then...
Like, how is it dusk?
Yeah.
How is that two hours?
Right.
we can barely pull our pants up in the United States in 2 hours, so...
Okay, so let's segue right into Colin's thing with Olympus. We're focusing too much on White House Down. Let's bring back some
it's
Olympus.
It's fresher.
Stuff.
It's fresher in our brain.
It is fresher.
That's fine.
The Dawn thing. Bring up the Dawn thing.
Well, it's always the greatest thing in any movie when a villain's not in a hurry.
I have no specific time.
He could have totally, like, his demands were what? To have an airplane waiting for him?
No, it was the...
Or was it a helicopter?
It was the whole getting rid of the 7th Fleet away from Korea.
But what was the point where he was going to leave the White House? Like,
he wanted the helicopter. But he goes, you have until dawn to remove the 7th Fleet from Korea.
Mm-hmm. Well, who's Dawn?
And then that was the argument we had, where we were like, when's Dawn?
Korea?
Like,
Korea's Dawn? Or our Dawn?
Timeline.
Who's Dawn?
Let's assume it's Washington, D.C. let's just assume.
We don't know.
But like, when the
sun
comes up?
So what time is that in Korea?
When Starbucks
was that like 7 hours ago?
Is it great?
What the Weather Channel says.
Right.
No, I'm saying...
Once Bambi's prancing through the forest,
hey,
what's the morning?
For all we know, dawn here is yesterday in Korea. So
right, but let's assume that it's in Washington, D.C. time zone. So when they deliver the papers, when the sun comes up, it was just literally like, you have until dawn. Instead of, you have until 8 a.m.
I know.
Yeah.
It's fucking 8 a.m. Give us a deadline.
Seriously?
And then
talk about writing not to commit.
And I understand the idea of, like, it's got to be, you know, it's writing and it's a Hollywood movie, but why isn't this next question you have until dawn be like, okay, so 7? Can we get a more defined? Because we
have coffee at 8:30.
Because we as a government have to put that deadline, that big giant
time clock.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and we don't have a setting for dawn.
There's not something ticking down. We don't have a movie.
We have many clocks, and they all have a different
My iPhone
dawn.
Doesn't have a dawn feature on it.
Well, it probably does, but it's not the same thing. Get it? No, never mind. Any whistle.
Yeah, that joke fell flat.
Shut up.
Waka waka.
Little support over there.
He's an improv actor. That's what he does. He saw a buddy on stage burning.
Virtual high five.
Okay, so what else about Olympus? Okay, first off,
I mean, the movie starts with this ridiculous plot line that means nothing for the rest of the movie. But they love to act like it matters. The president, the first lady, dies in the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
And the reality is that it's completely irrelevant and could have been just mentioned in the movie.
Yes, but for some reason... let's talk about that, because that is actually one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Okay.
Okay, so our hero, Gerard Butler, is... on the president's detail.
Yep.
He's the guy. He saves the president, doesn't save the wife.
Mm-hmm.
So then he has been sort of disavowed from the president. He's been kicked off the president's team. And there's a scene, you know, so cut to 18 months later, and he's working some shitty job at the Treasury Department. And he's meeting with his boss before
work.
Wow,
we're doing a synopsis here?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, we are. Because
what's
this
going
is,
on?
Because this is important. Will you just let me do this? So the boss says, the president doesn't want you around because he doesn't want you reminding him of
his wife dying.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cut to the president. When we introduce the president, he picks up the watch and looks at the picture of his dead wife, and the watch was given to him by his dead wife. Died. So he literally puts on a reminder, a constant reminder of his wife dying every morning. And
I guess the man who saved his life means nothing.
Has this ritual. And it's like, okay, so why is this guy kicked out? Like, he makes it bad?
But the man who saved his life has no meaning.
Right, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
How is that?
I got to backtrack. I got to backtrack a couple minutes for a few things that blew my mind when his wife dies, the first lady. So, first of all, this crazy thing happens where the first limo spins out, crashes into the side of a bridge, and the window immediately breaks. These windows are so ridiculously reinforced that...
Bulletproof.
Yeah.
It's
beyond bulletproof. It's like 50 cal proof.
You can shoot a tank at it three times, apparently.
Exactly.
Three times.
Which we will readdress when we get to White House Now. Yes.
Spoiler alert for this podcast. So not only that, okay... So first that happens, which is ridiculous, and then they're going over into this icy, frozen river below, which, if we're really talking about the presidential motorcade, it has its own induct system, whatever you call it, induction air system, so that it can literally operate within its own atmosphere.
So the gases don't get in.
Exactly.
Right.
It's
gas-proof. Yes. Right.
So literally, they could just chill in the presidential limo underneath the frozen lake until they have
somebody
the time
finds
to tow
them
out.
And, right. And like, there's not GPS on that limo.
Right.
Really? Really?
Okay, and one more thing that drives me nuts. It's that typical teetering over the edge scene. The limo's, like, rocking back and forth. Dudes are jumping on the back trunk trying to weigh it down. And then the final shot we see as the limo's about to go over is the two guys who are in the front of the limo who have made no attempt whatsoever
to get in the back.
They're literally chilling in the very front of the limo still. So, don't be mad at Gerard Butler.
It's
be
disrespectful to get in the back. It's disrespectful. You don't do that.
Let's take that and talk about how White House Down used the limo. Because what's interesting, because I remember you bitching about that last night. They made it apparently clear in White House Down that the limo, I mean, there's this whole action sequence where they get in the limo and it's
AKs coming at them and
50 cal
three rockets
and
from
all
tank.
Of this.
Yeah.
Come on.
Why? And I forgot, this was not in the script. This is in the movie. A fucking pool took it down. So when it goes in, they're immediately, the limo's full of water.
Yeah, for sure.
In the script, it wasn't full of water, and it was like, okay, we got to get out of here. And when he opens the door, it floods.
Which is how it normally works, by the way.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
because none of the windows would crack.
Right,
In the limo, the windows would be fine.
Right.
I know. I was like, why is everybody afraid? Who doesn't know they're bulletproof?
I guess, though, you could kind of justify that because it did get hit with an RPG in the front right of the car.
Oh, yeah.
So
no.
Maybe that made it vulnerable.
It was about,
bad. There was a really good joke in the script that did not make it to the movie where, if you remember, when they're checking into the White House, the girl says, according to Wikipedia, did you know that the president travels around in a CTS, which is impenetrable to bullets and rocket fire?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when the RPG takes them down and you find them not underwater, but in the limo, the president strapped in upside down and he's on the roof. And the first thing he says when he gets up is, Wikipedia fucking lies. Because the rocket took him down. And it was like, oh, that was one of my favorite jokes. And
it just got swallowed.
It was just like, no, rocket takes it down.
They made a WikiLeaks joke about where the safe room was for the president.
Yeah,
that wasn't as funny as...
No, it wasn't.
The jokes that were in the script of White House Down were way better than the jokes that they used in the actual movie.
Yeah.
Let's take a second and talk about the PIOC, which is the presidential occupation chamber, which, like...
The bunker.
Okay.
The bunker.
The bunker.
Which both movies utilize.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I really liked like the Bond villain style bunker in Olympus Has Fallen over the White House Down one, which was basically a computer lab.
Yeah.
It was like someone just built it in their basement.
No, seriously, like, I was like, I've worked there. Wait a minute, I've worked there.
I'm sure that's a room I've worked in.
Library computer lab. Yeah, I know, seriously. Come on.
Well, that's actually great. Okay, so what we can do now is, we were joking about in the car ride home, is what each movie, although the same, decided to make an interesting point, but not. So, like, in Olympus Has Fallen, there was, oh, you know what? There's cameras all over the White House. Let's use that as a storytelling technique. In White House Down, they're like, we don't need cameras.
Okay, I got one. Why? The tech guy. Okay, so I'm a techie.
And he set up his own cameras. You don't think there's cameras in those fucking tunnels?
No, I absolutely. I'm just saying, the way he took over the equipment, which is a little ridiculous.
But yeah, I know. I was waiting for you to.
Yeah, that was it. Was coming.
Yeah.
Which, I love that actor, by the way.
He did great. Yeah. Here's what doesn't make sense. Yeah. Okay, so literally, he has obviously kind of like a dialer breaking in software that he's going to try every password possible. Mm-hmm. That is going to break into the router. That's how he breaks down the firewalls.
Yeah.
And then gets blown up by his own equipment.
I didn't understand.
I didn't either.
They just needed to kill that dude, and that was the easiest way to do it.
I would be like, here's my fingerprint. Let me through. Right? What? Yeah. Why would I not program my own equipment?
That was silly. That was another writer's cheat.
Yeah, it was.
That was definitely a writer's cheat. Yeah.
And in the script, there was actually really funny. The bomb wasn't that complicated. It was literally just on the lock. Mm. And it was like 7 green wires and a yellow wire. And Channing Tatum's character kept going back and forth with them, like how to disarm this bomb. And the bomb tech guy was comic relief in its own fashion. Where it's like, okay, you need to take all of the green wires out in succession. And so he goes to grab the first green wire, and he's like, wait a minute, does it have its own power source? Yeah, there's a battery attached. Okay, don't touch any of the green wires. You know,
wait, are you saying White House Down?
White House Down, yeah.
Okay.
So for that to be like, I'm going to create this complicated thing that's basically like a hotel swipe card.
I didn't even understand that.
It was ridiculous.
Why would you... There's obviously magnetics involved, and why would you use that?
Magnetics and explosives.
Why didn't they just let Channing Tatum break that dude's neck?
Which one?
The IT guy.
I think they thought it was ironic, but to me, it was just stupid.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
He should have really fumbled it. If you're going to make him die by his own, he falls into it or something.
If you're going to hack into NORAD... And then blown up by your own bomb.
Come on. Shut up.
Not to mention they launched a bomb successfully, which like they launched a missile.
I think that's awesome.
A nuke up to Air Force One. But then they just left it at that. Like, why didn't they just start firing?
I actually thought they were about to blow up Ohio, and I was like, yay! No, I'm sorry.
There were two instances in actually both scripts that I was disappointed in. The ending of Olympus Has Fallen had kind of a pretty badass action sequence, which they did not film. I felt like they kind of wrapped it up. And then the scene with the missile towards the vice president's airplane, Air Force One, was a whole action sequence in and of itself, and it was really cool. Because it was like, we're going to take this thing up into space.
It was a surprise.
And
you didn't know where it was going. That was mm-hmm. kind of a surprise.
Yeah. And then they were like, you know what? We don't have money for that. So can the first missile just knock it out? Mm-hmm. And then, oh, okay. Let's not shoot anymore
because we don't have any more money.
I really enjoyed the shot of the farmer as the nuke went off.
He's like, oh my god, it's already Tuesday?
Gotta mention the flag waving.
Oh god.
Okay. Now,
I mean, this is...
Wait.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me set it up. there is a specific moment, and as we know as screenwriters, everything has to pay off. So here's the setup. Channing Tatum missed his daughter's recital, and that creates tension.
It's a talent show.
Yeah.
And yes. And what did you do at the talent show? I did flag waving. If that's a thing? Okay. The good joke.
Flag twirling. Flag twirling.
I would like to say twirling.
So, now, I had known this was the sort of setup to the Nicolas... I can only compare this to the Nicolas Cage green flare at the end of The Rock, where they're about to bomb the fucking... They're going to take out Alcatraz, and Nicolas Cage comes up and does the green flare. Mm-hmm. As I see green flare, it didn't shoot, blow up shit. So, in this movie, they're going to blow up the White House. That's it. We got to annihilate it. And guess what happens? Girl comes out and does her flag routine.
Not girl. A 4'6"
yes,
11-year-old
girl. 11-year-old
girl. Comes out dirty with a flag of the president.
The president's flag.
Directly in front of the White House, which they're about to bomb. She's 6 feet in front of. She didn't even run out.
Now,
this is a navy blue flag.
Yes, not yes, exactly
it's not
white.
Neon.
Now, for the record, in which makes it even more disturbing. But for the record, in the script, it actually was the American flag that fell off the top, which we'll talk about that in a second. But when that was coming, and it was like you got 30 seconds. I leaned over to Cheryl, and I was like, oh, Colin's going to love this.
So
because
we turned to Colin.
Because Colin's been reacting to the movie. We're watching it out of the corner of our eye. Like, and I told him when the movie was over, it's like, I don't know what was more fun, watching the movie or your reaction to the movie. Because you're like, ah.
Hands in the air.
Like,
oh,
are you
my
kidding
God.
Me?
Oh, my God. No.
There are a lot of moments in that movie.
Yeah, it was funny.
Made me put my head in my hands.
Yeah, I remember.
No one's was so bad other than the flag waving thing.
Yeah.
The flag waving was pretty bad.
Which was implausible,
really,
and we talked about the logistics of that and how that would not work. So, it while adorbs, that's about it. It gets an adorbs.
Well, what
not actual...
What I think is actually interesting is, now let's assume...
We're not going to move on from the flag thing yet.
Okay.
Right? No, we're on the adorbs, adorbs flag thing.
You got more on the flag thing?
Which, by
the
way...
The only thing that I'll... Go ahead.
Which, by the way, the jets that were about to drop the bomb saw her on their weird little land scanner, like zoomed in 50 times. Like, oh, that's what they see in front of the White House.
Beth, have you been in an F-22? You don't know what screens they have.
Nice try, Beth. Nice try. That's not what we saw on screen. And you know what? If they wanted to say that on screen, they should have said that on screen, because that's what... They literally were looking out their window going, look, there's a little girl in a blue dress on the yard with a flag. Come on. You didn't see that.
The best part is she's not even like losing her shit frantically waving this flag.
She's doing
the routine. She does the steps that she worked on for the talent show.
Da, da, da,
she's
da, da.
Spinning. She's like...
If you remember, Colin, she spent 6 weeks training.
It's true. 6 weeks of hard work.
And 2 minutes ago, she was squinting her eyes closed waiting to get shot in the head. And it didn't happen.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. But here's the
okay,
ultimate
I'll take it.
Coup de grace. She, her dad comes out. She's relieved to see that he's alive. And she runs up to him and says, did you see my routine?
Like, no, I was killing bad guys. Sorry I missed it. I'm sure CNN will replay it 1,000 times.
I was bleeding a little bit, so, you know, I took a break.
Yeah, no, but did you see me killing bad guys? That was badass, right? Who's more badass? I think I saved the president.
I gotta say, Olympus Has Fallen certainly won the war of Yippee-ki-yay, mother. Fucker.
Yeah.
Okay, let's
except
talk about that.
The same.
Let's talk
except,
about that.
You gotta have a,
except
that.
They were all fucking pussies about, like, just give over the code. Just like, we don't negotiate with terrorists. Oh, no, negotiate with these guys. Negotiate, negotiate. Like,
for
not
sure.
Even a chance.
Yeah.
They actually said one of my new favorite things that we will never put in the script. You can't prove that. Nobody says that who is innocent.
Yeah.
I can never imagine myself saying that. I'm like, oh, I must be innocent then. I'm going to guess they're guilty. But you can't prove that.
White House Down certainly has that, like, Scooby-Doo
in it. Yeah, absolutely. Damn you kids!
Yeah.
I would have gotten away with it.
Yeah. It's such a weird arena to have a meeting between Channing and the Secretary of State.
It was all ridiculous. Yeah. That's not protocol. No. New.
Okay, but let's go back to the Yippee-ki-yay motherfucker.
Okay.
Because obviously Die Hard has a Yippee-ki-yay motherfucker. And
it's what we were looking for.
And okay, actually, sidetrack for a brief second. Olympus Has Fallen literally follows the Die Hard model.
Yeah.
I mean, not even pretending to be something else. It's bad guys take over, conversation with good guy.
Like both of them are like Die Hard.
No. But there are scenes in Olympus that you can literally transplant right out of Die Hard. Like, for example, the Yippee-ki-yay motherfucker scene is he's talking to the bad guy on the radio.
Yep.
It's the Hans Gruber scene.
And he says...
And so our Yippee-ki-yay moment was...
Well, we gotta say White House Down first, because it's not as good as Olympus.
Okay, the White House Down one...
Is Channing Tatum's talking to... Who's he talking to? Is he talking to the head honcho at that
point? Not the head honcho,
no,
the
slimy guy.
The
yeah.
Steins, the
yeah,
guy.
Yeah. Gotcha. And so, I almost forget what he says now.
Gary's not here.
Oh, yeah.
No, no, yeah. It wasn't Gary.
Yeah,
no.
It wasn't Gary.
Billy.
But it was Billy.
Billy. So,
he kills a dude.
The bad guy is paging. He's saying, Billy, you up there? You up there? Channing Tatum grabs the radio and says, Billy can't come to the phone right now.
Yeah.
That was
his.
And that was it.
Yeah, that's his corollary.
Yeah, the IT guy did better at that with the whole, please hold.
Yeah.
One moment. I will attach it to the person you're looking for.
But
thank
then
you.
The Gerard Butler, Olympus Has Fallen,
mm-hmm.
is... I don't remember the line before.
They're having their discussion, and then it goes, let's play a game of fuck off, you go first. And then it hangs up. Which was funny at the moment. I guess it didn't even seem funny now, because we've talked about it so many times. But,
maybe you smoked. You got high just for being around us that night. It was funny that night.
It was funny.
It was. I want to learn. I want to use it at some point.
Well, and then when Gerard Butler says it, like, not even ironically. That's the other thing. When McClane says Yippee-ki-yay, he's being sarcastic.
Yeah.
When Butler says it, he's fucking dead serious. I want to play a game of fuck off with you, and you should go first.
Right behind you. But it all sounds too sexual to me.
Is Yippee-ki-yay from something before Die Hard?
Roy Rogers.
Okay.
Yippee-ki-yay was Roy Rogers.
Yeah, not motherfucker, obviously.
Obviously.
But I have actually used that several times.
Yippee-ki-yay or
yeah.
Yippee-ki-yay motherfucker?
That both. When I heard, I liked it.
An entire franchise was
yeah,
built
exactly.
around Yippee-ki-yay motherfucker.
So I might use this
Wait, but tell them, the White House Down does have kind of a redeeming fuck you moment when... I'm not going to remember it verbatim, but Jamie Foxx says,
"Oh, right, right,
by
his
the
line.
Power,
oh, all the power behind me, based on my presidency,
blah,
my authority,
blah, 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 blah.
And da da da.
Fuck you,
fuck you." it's a complete line that by the power authority.
Yeah,
I,
right.
Yes.
Which, if you don't know, Jamie Foxx is the president.
Oh, right, right.
Which is so hard for me to believe that it took like 20 minutes for me to be like, oh. He's the president in this movie. It was literally the third scene with Jamie Foxx.
He was a little bit too... He was a little bit too...
He was too relaxed.
I'm just coming off West Wing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the president has a different story for everything that happens. He doesn't tell the same story every time they pass around Lincoln's thing.
Right.
The West Wing guy would tell a different story.
Right.
Why is Jamie Foxx only got one?
Felt a lot like Jamie Foxx, not like a president.
Oh,
exactly.
That's what I wanted to bring up. Morgan Freeman was the speaker, and he was in Olympus, and of course, just how shit rolls down, Morgan ends up being the president, and it's like you can't have Morgan Freeman in a movie about the White House and not have him at least spend a good 15-20 minutes as a president.
And I'm like, for real? Don't we all really want him as president right now? In the next? Like, next?
Cheryl,
I would like Morgan. Yeah. I would like a man who seems to make sense.
What's actually really interesting to me, and this is going to be kind of a weird tangent, is writing characters for star bait, if you will. Because there were things in both scripts where, for example, once they signed Jamie Foxx, the presidential character became a little bit more
involved.
He wasn't as involved in the script. When in Olympus, when Aaron Eckhart was cast, the president in Olympus was non-existent through most of the movie. All of that torture shit, all of the thing that you were talking about, Beth, there was none of that. So it
in for Aaron.
So it's like I gotta do more stuff. And even if it's telling my people to give up the code, I gotta do just zip tie me to a railing. I gotta just have some more lines.
Give it some. And he's face down.
And so what's and in Olympus, one of the more interesting things for me was how Gerard Butler got into the White House. In the script, it was he went through the tunnels. So they used the tunnels that way as an entrance, not as an exit. But once he signed on, it was more about him running through the streets and telling people, like, you know, as people are running away from the action, he's running into the action, telling people to get down and helping people and putting people down, and then, you know, killing bad guys from the rear as Secret Service is killing people from the front. He was more of an, I'm going to go through the front door.
And so was Secret Service.
Yeah, but
we're
talking about main character,
mm-hmm.
where he went through the front door, and he made that comment. There was a line somewhere. I don't remember where it was, but he goes, "I came in through the front door." Like, it's just that whole, like, I gotta look cool. If I'm gonna be in this movie, I gotta look cool. Give me some cool stuff. I'm not gonna, like, go through a tunnel and kind of just work my way in.
Yeah.
Like, let me be an action hero and bust my way in. So it was just interesting, this whole idea of...
They're very entertainment, not to be taken literally. Although I feel a lot of people who are feeling like, I think I could do this. I'm going to break in the White House and let's... Yeah. I see the copycats. No.
Don't take tips from these movies.
Oh, yeah.
If that's what your plan is.
Oh, God, no.
Unless you have the full force of the Korean army behind you. Because maybe...
Or you happen to be, like, really good friends with the director of Secret Service.
Yes, that's the other thing.
And he happens to want to get revenge on the president.
Because he has cancer. Spoiler alert.
Who casts... what's his name?
James Woods.
Who casts James Woods... And then thinks it's going to be any kind of surprise whatsoever.
When he's the bad guy. Well, that was the same thing when we were talking about Olympus, where it's like they literally cast a Bond villain.
Yeah.
And it was like,
as the bad guy.
Well, as soon as he shows up on screen, it's like,
oh, he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
There it is.
Oh, wait, he took off his glasses? Now we know he's the bad guy.
Instead of somebody like James Woods, if they cast somebody like Harrison Ford, that would be interesting. Because you don't expect Harrison to be a bad guy.
Right.
I don't know.
Anybody that, like, basically goes against the grain. Yeah. Yeah.
He's looking old.
Yeah.
And salty. Big time. James Woods.
Well, they didn't make him look like he had cancer.
Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
true. He had to be 3 months from death, and he looked it.
James Woods in real life is still banging playmates. That's what he does.
I gotta say, I enjoyed both bad guys, except for the weird, like, hillbilly dude who was all about having hostages in White House.
Who looked like he just came off of his eye spray for bugs.
Yeah, for sure.
That was his.
He looks like the kind of dude you lock your doors. I was going to say because you're afraid of his rapey looking nature. Hopefully you don't rape him.
Who knows?
No, he had like the nasty Fu Manchu and like so many tattoos that were all like white power,
oily hair.
Well, and that was the whole thing. Like they did this weird setup of like this is the presidential threat matrix where all of these types of guys threaten the president on a constant basis.
Just as you bring that up, okay, Gyllenhaal, what'd you think?
I never really care.
You know what? Here's the problem. You cannot work in that kind of job and speak like this.
The scene, which they kept showing because she did The Daily Show and she did Jimmy Kimmel, they kept showing the same scene where...
You're going to die, because that's the only time she actually says anything.
Yeah, but she says it in such a, like...
pussy way.
Yeah.
You have 8 minutes, you're going to need to exit through the west. That's what she should say. Somebody who's that high up should have an action plan for fucking everything.
I don't believe her in a role like that. No. She's like the girlfriend. She's romantic. Yeah.
She does not.
Right from the beginning. Mr. President, we'll be landing in 8 minutes.
I haven't slept. He wants to do the thing.
She's starting to sound like Stewart.
Watch this, President. Watch this. Yeah, she didn't belong that. She's adorable. I love her.
But she's just Maggie Gyllenhaal, you know?
Right.
She's not director of Secret Service.
God, no.
She was who was the director of Secret Service in Olympus? Angela Bassett. Yeah, Angela Bassett's like, fuck you, blah, blah, blah.
Bop, 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 yeah. Bop. Yeah.
This is how this shit's going to go down. And she's like, she whined a lot.
Yeah.
She whined a lot. Like, but John Cale is in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please, Mr. President, don't do this. What?
I like the Vice Prez who was super cold and calculated. That's the dude who is, he's Warren Worthington II in X-Men 3.
Yep.
I love how he was just like, just nuke it.
Take it out.
Let's not waste any time. Let's just drop the bomb.
Why are we fooling around here? And get those troops back in there.
Yeah.
I think the last thing I'd like to talk about is the fact that, you know, going back to if anybody was planning on taking the White House, don't do this, because both movies, and let's assume they were independently written and no one had knowledge of what everyone was doing, it's pretty much the like, okay, number
the
one...
The same source is
yeah,
what we're
number,
saying.
Yeah, number one, it's a ground assault in. There will be... a Delta Force or SEAL Team 6, depending on what movie you want to use, their only strategy is to go through being on the roof. But hey, guess what? The bad guys will have some sort of anti-airplane surface-to-air missile gun thing to shoot them down that they won't be aware of.
Even if Channing Tatum tells them it's there.
Channing Tatum and Gerard Butler... Channing and Gerard both told them no, abort, abort, abort. No, and both in both situations, it's just no, it's too late. So oh no, we both got to go to the roofs and save our guys. In any government plot where the White House is taken, there will be a Secret Service person that's in on it.
Yeah,
that is a gimme.
He can't work without it.
Right. So let's just assume that the guys in the room are the enemies too.
as far as being, it's
always about money. There will always be money involved.
My problem is, in what world does the six people that you just killed take down the United States? We're millions of people. We are not. One person, two people.
Well, it's
the speaker,
yeah, but that's
the,
a fundamental.
That is not us.
That's a fundamental question about.
I know, but
or not
that is just making people feel
fails.
Desperate. It's making people feel. You know what? Yay! I'm almost okay with that. If you actually blew up all of Congress, That's a movie I want to see.
That's interesting.
Let's take out all of our government and start over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's actually what's more interesting is the
plot line. It's going to be on the internet, you know, right?
what's more interesting is the plot line of something like Die Hard, the fourth one, where it was about a fire sale, where it was about getting rid of all of power, electricity, stock markets, all, you know, shutting down.
It's almost apocalyptic. Yeah, but really, in this day and age, what would it be like to get rid of politicians? All politicians?
That would last about a month, maybe. I think within 48 hours, we'd have a new Congress and a new people
actually,
in power. I mean, that's just how that shit works.
What if people then stepped up and said, no, now we're going to do this a little differently.
Okay, once again, you're always thinking about the 1% of the population. We live in idiocracy.
Right, all people are
sheeps.
Stupid.
You are a shepherd among sheeps.
Yes.
So,
sheeple.
Nice try.
I love other people to get that.
Yeah, well, not going to happen.
The thing about that is there's way too many dumb fucks in on the
show. I know. Exactly. I agree.
And just to wrap up, they all apparently work for the Secret Service. That's how we bring it around. That's called a callback, people. So I think we're going to... Any lasting remarks? I think we pretty much dig...
Only one comment, and we're not actually going to discuss it, but I just want to say Purge was...
we're not talking about Purge.
The idea was written by man.
Yeah, okay. The Purge was written by man.
It's so stupid.
And Colin has found respect for Channing Tatum's acting.
I gotta give it up for Channing.
Improvement.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say he's good. It still literally made me want to burst out laughing when
he had to have a really
strong emotional reaction to something going on. But dude has obviously got an acting coach. He's taken some classes. He's made miles of leaps and bounds. I can now stand watching him.
Without puking.
Yes.
Without the puking. Yes. So that's good. That's a good
song. All right. That's a compliment or not.
I ended up, if we want to bring it back to The Purge, I got through The Purge watching Ethan Hawke.
No. But he got his teeth fixed. So.
Yeah, that had nothing to do with it.
Was it they fucking killed Ethan Hawke?
Oh my God.
Spoiler alert. They weren't afraid to kill. A main character.
Never did nothing to you. Okay, fine. Let's go.
You did? All right. For breaking in this week, I'm Manny.
Cheryl.
Thanks, Beth and Colin, for being here. And we will do a longer show with you guys later.
Individually, just about you.
Safe night.
Yeah.
Safe night.
Safe night.
Till next week.
That's a Purge joke.
Yay.
Yay. Of thee, today. Sweet land of liberty.